The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 provides a succinct description of the written word of God, noting both its characteristics as well as its benefits for those who carefully submit themselves to it. If Psalm 19 is the Cliff Notes summary of the word of God, then certainly Psalm 119 is the unabridged version. As you may know, it's the longest psalm and indeed the longest chapter in the Bible. Now, I did some addition and math this week. I've preached 13 sermons since coming to staff here at Bible Fellowship, each sermon averaging approximately 41 minutes in length and covering approximately 9 verses. That works out to roughly 4.5 minutes of sermon delivery time per verse. So if that average holds up with Psalm 119 containing 176 verses, we should wrap this up somewhere around 13 hours and 12 minutes from now, which any teen will tell you is nearly twice as long as the average youth group lesson. Now, before we begin to engage the text, there are a few interesting features and points of note that I thought some of you would like to hear. I considered leaving them out and then thought about the number of emails that I might receive, so I decided to include a few of them. So if you notice first that at the beginning of each stanza is a word, you may know that those words are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, that this psalm, like many others, is in fact an acrostic. However, where other acrostic psalms begin with each verse, moving to the next verse, each with a different letter, Psalm 119 dedicates a full stanza to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 of them, one for each Hebrew letter, and so then each stanza, the first word begins with the letter in question. And so verses 1 through 8, the first word would begin with the letter Aleph. 9 through 16 begin with Bet, and so on and so forth. Another interesting feature of this psalm is the large number of synonyms it uses to refer to Scripture. There are at least 8 frequent ones. One is law, which is something that not only means or refers to the legal aspects of God's word, but more broadly, both here and in the rest of Scripture, it can also refer to more broadly the instruction of God. Testimonies, not unlike how we use the term today, it's God providing witness concerning himself. Precepts, statutes, commandments, and rules, each of these have shades of meaning that are distinct from each other, but for our purposes, they are synonymous, commandments. Promises, a good reminder that the Old Testament is far more than a rule book. It contains these meaningful and rich promises that provide hope and comfort, that they remind us not only of what is to come, but they remind us of God's character while pointing clearly to Jesus Christ and to the gospel. And finally, word, sometimes appearing as your word, sometimes your words, plural. This is the most frequently used, appearing 27 times. Most of the others used appear roughly 20 times, some more, some less, except for promise, which appears in 12 verses. There are a few others, such as ways or judgments, that appear once or twice, and of course, these are all coming out of I did all this out of the English Standard Version. So your mileage may vary if you're using a different translation, but for the most part, the little bit of looking into what I did, the numbers seemed to hold up pretty well. And finally, of the 176 verses, only 7 do not contain a direct reference to Scripture using one of these words. And even then, it is certainly implied. So with that out of the way, why pick this psalm? After all, there are 150 to choose from, so why pick the longest one to preach on? Believe me, that is a question I've been asking myself a lot over the last 3 weeks. But in part, it's for my own benefit. Because you see, there's nothing quite like, in my experience, sermon preparation that causes me to mine the depths of Scripture, to see things that I've never seen, to experience things in a way I've never experienced them. And so I've never taken the time to do an in-depth study of the entire psalm. I've taught through portions of it, verses here and there, maybe even a stanza once or twice, but certainly never the entire psalm. So to some degree, this was a very self-serving decision. And from that respect, it is definitely not one that I regret whatsoever. Although at times I did question the wisdom of doing this, it has proven very fruitful and beneficial for my own soul. In larger part, though, I resolved to preach on Psalm 119 because I'm convinced that there is nothing that the average Christian needs more, often desperately more, than a deep sense of wonder at God's Word. One that leads to greater love and respect and study of the Word. And that apart from perhaps a deeper prayer life, there is nothing else that will bring about greater love and greater holiness in the believer. And I say that for the believer, it is an absolute certainty that the greater awe, the greater love, and the greater reverence for Scripture that exists in the heart, this leads to a greater awe, love, and reverence for the God who authored it. You surely know it, but it bears repeating. The study of God's Word is not merely to know more about God, but to better know God Himself. I can say all this with complete confidence precisely because God has chosen to reveal Himself in this way. And that apart from the person of Jesus Christ on earth, there is no greater and more clear revelation of God to man than the written word, that book that we call the Bible. It is rich. It is rich, and we will never be done mining its depths. So the question is, how do you relate to God's word this morning? Just to remind you of where we opened, how Psalm 19 describes the written word of God. It is perfect, it is sure, it is right, pure, clean, true, enduring forever, righteous altogether. Each of these claims is repeated in some way, and some of them multiple times in Psalm 119. Now, these claims, these types of claims, demand a response. They're provocative claims. Provocative claims for a book that was written in a vastly different time to a variety of very different audiences. These claims are especially provocative in our day, in light of this sort of fading, passing, postmodern era that we find ourselves in. We seem to have arrived at this place where the concept of absolute truth isn't so much rejected as it is simply ignored in favor of personal preference. And that the new religion, so to speak, of the day, the source where people turn for comfort and hope, where they go for fulfillment and meaning, is a combination of personal identity and a virtual buffet of herd mentalities, groups with which we choose to identify. It's a variation of what we see in Judges, where everyone does what is right in their own eyes, but only to the extent that it's acceptable to their herd or herds of choice. Personal preference and emotion determine reality far more than reason and evidence, and absolute truth doesn't really exist unless and until something becomes so objective, so offensive or unacceptable that it is judged by the broader culture to be wrong. Then absolute truth certainly rises to the fore. All that is to say, to claim that any book is perfect, right, true, altogether righteous, especially when that book forbids so much of what our culture embraces and commends so much of what our culture rejects, that is provocative. And so, to many, this book is offensive and it is wrong. And yet, And yet, what does Scripture say of itself? God's own testimony is that this is the Word of God, or perhaps maybe a little more jarring and less familiar, it is the words of God. The words of God, which means God speaks. And so, you are forced to grapple with this. This book is from God, or it is not. Now, all that is a setup for what I'm about to do. Because you see, I am about to read Psalm 119 in its entirety, and I wrestled with whether or not to do this, because clearly it's going to take time. It'll take probably around 15 minutes. I joked several weeks ago that I would have Pastor Rick read the entirety of the psalm and kind of laughed it off as a joke. And then as the week drew on more and more, it became less and less of a joke. In the end, the decision was clear, because given what the psalm itself says, it seemed highly inappropriate not to read it in its entirety. In fact, the reading of it, I am convinced, absolutely convinced, that the reading of it is far more profound and life-giving than any commentary that I may ever add to it, so much so that I firmly believe that if I were to read it and then simply sit down, you would benefit from it far more than if I were to preach this full sermon without reading it in its entirety, because after all, it is the Word of God. How do you relate to it this morning? Because as much as we may see many of the pitfalls of our culture, it is certainly true that those influences creep into our hearts in ways that we do not always recognize. And so while I do not doubt that the vast majority of you listening this morning, watching this morning, firmly believe that this is the Word of God, I come back to that question. How do you relate to it? How does the Word of God resonate with your heart? I mentioned that after I made the decision, I mentioned to a couple of people that I would be reading the psalm. And they said, "Are you sure? Are you sure that's..." And I had the same hesitation. And yet, it is what it is. The Word of God, and there is nothing else like it. So what I encourage you to do, now normally I would encourage you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I will not do that this morning, although you certainly may if you choose to. But I would encourage you to simply listen. To simply listen. We will return again and cover take a brief look at some of the themes. That's where I started this sermon, that I wanted to just develop a couple of themes, find some of these themes that came out of the text, and then spend some time on some particular verses. So we will give attention to a couple of things, but more, I feel that I would be very remiss if we did not simply let the Word of God speak for itself. This is a clear psalm, a plain psalm. And I encourage you this too. I began reading through this psalm 3 weeks ago, over and over, listening to it at first and reading through it in its entirety. I don't know how many times I did it. Each time I did it, it became more and more rich. And so I implore you, maybe not all in one sitting, read this psalm this week for yourself, for your own heart. Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn of your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Bet. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Dalet. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Vav. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk in wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Zion, remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Het. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you. because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Tet. You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Yod. Your statutes have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your words, your rules are righteous, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies, that my heart may be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Kaf. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast law, in your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. None. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Samach. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe. Have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Ion, I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation, for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold, because I keep all your precepts, because I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with all who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Sadi. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Kaf. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you. Save me that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Sin and Shin. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Grant peace, great peace, have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord. and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tav. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I said, I feel as though I could simply sit down at this point. The word of the Lord is sure and true. It's righteous altogether. I want to examine a few of these themes that are repeated. Certainly you noticed that there are themes that are repeated over and over again in this psalm. First, there are many claims and characteristics of God and His Word. We already spoke about this before we read the psalm, so I'll simply reread verse 144. Your testimonies are righteous forever. That is the title of this sermon. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. There is none holy but the Lord. But each one of His testimonies, each one of His revelations about Himself, each one of His words describing Himself and His character and His law for us that display His love in all creation, each one of them is righteous forever. And that through understanding these things, we gain life. And so I simply ask once again that rhetorical question, are these things true? This is either the word of God or it is not. The more I interact with it, the more certain the answer to that question becomes. This is the word of the Lord. Second, there are many statements in here about the disobedient, about those who fail to keep God's word. And here are three examples. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, or because I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold, because I consider all your precepts to be right, I hate every false way. Now, there are some hard words in this psalm for those who do not submit to God and do not submit to His law. And so perhaps our modern sensibilities may make us uncomfortable with these types of statements. So what then do we say in light of them? Well, certainly mingled in with these statements of those who refuse to keep God's law are repeated calls to His mercy, to His salvation, and His grace. And so these two things cannot be separated, they're proclaimed together. There is no good news without the bad news, and yet there are many who will reject the Lord. But if these statements make us uncomfortable, if we find ourselves resisting what God says in His Word, then surely one of two things is true. Either we lack proper understanding of exactly what is being said, perhaps through the nuances or perhaps for other reasons, or our hearts are more influenced by this world than we'd like to think that they are. Far be it for us to see in the pages of Scripture something and say, that isn't right. There's a psalm in here that says, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. It's not, at least to my view of it, it's not a triumphant declaration over the wicked, but rather a thankful and right appreciation of God's justice. These are hard things. And so, at this point, it would be proper. There are a few of these themes that I think are specifically more addressed to certain groups or individuals. So if by some means you find yourself this morning, if you are an unbeliever, Jesus Christ is not your Savior, and yet you find yourself here watching this live stream, listening to the word of the Lord this morning, do not harden your heart. But turn to the Lord. Believe in Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, his sinless life, his death on the cross to cover your sin. Receive him as Savior and live. I'm going to close this section because, again, I said there are certain sections that are difficult for us to read. And the first couple of times I read through this psalm, some of these verses read roughly. They created friction. I wasn't sure, how do I take these things? And yet I came across some time ago this quote I will read to you now. To know God as the sovereign God of the universe is to know ourselves as his subjects in rebellion against him. To know God in his holiness is to know ourselves as sinners. To know him as love is to see ourselves as loved, though unlovely. To seek God's wisdom is to see our own foolishness in spiritual things. Since God is the only standard by which any of those things can be measured, we do not know anything properly unless we know him. Or to put it in other terms, if we do not know God, we consider ourselves to be sovereign over our own lives, holy, loving, wise, and so on, when in reality, we are none of those things. James Montgomery Boyce. So, in closing this section, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Do we weep for the sinfulness of the world? Are our hearts broken the way Jesus could confront the religious, hypocritical rulers of his day and pronounce woes on them and then weep over Jerusalem? Do we weep over the lost, and are we moved, therefore, to action? Another theme that is all over this psalm is love and delight in God's word. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Incidentally, if you are interested in these, I'm only reading a small portion I will make available at some point, because I'm sure there are some of you who are trying to scribble notes furiously. I'll make some of these available when we put the video out. But can you say that? Does your heart say that? Your law, the law of your mouth, is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Does that resonate with your soul? Can you honestly agree with the psalmist? I mean, that's saying something. More precious to me, your word is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. If you claim to delight in it, then, do you read it? Because we have an embarrassment of riches. This is not the first time I said it, so I will keep it brief. But we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to God's word. Excellent translations abound. How many good, reliable translations of God's Word do we have? We have the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, which we use here at Bible Fellowship. There's also the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the New Living Translation even, many others. So many good and reliable translations. Certainly there is one which you ought to commit your heart to read it, to study it. One of the most beneficial things for me in the early weeks of preparing for this sermon was to simply listen to the Word of God. Listen to Psalm 119 over and over and over. Technology is our friend here, if we take advantage of it. But our problem is that we are programmed, both by our own hearts and by the world around us, to neglect, not reject, but to neglect the Word of God. And so I urge you, you have heard this lengthy song, this lengthy poem, to the worth and the value, the benefits and the richness of the Word of God. And it has been my prayer that the Holy Spirit would move your heart to study it more deeply than you have before. The psalm is full of references to how the Word of God, His testimonies, are life-giving. To the hurting, these verses provide hope. To the faithful, these verses provide life. Verses like verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." I have many other written here. "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." The word of God gives life. It breathes life. And not merely in the sense of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, or hearing the gospel, but that in following, in doing the word of God, in keeping his commandments, there is life. Not that obedience to the law brings in itself eternal life, but that in obedience, springing out of a new heart with thankfulness, that these commandments provide a framework of how we ought to live. There is a quote, I won't take time to read it now, but in fact I commend the entire chapter to you. This is Sinclair Ferguson's book, Devoted to God. In it he has a chapter called The Law Goes Deep, where he addresses the idea of how we take faithfulness to the law today to be legalism and dismiss it as legalism. Or as he says, I think the best argument that he makes in there is that surely it cannot be considered legalism if Jesus himself loved and kept the law, and surely Jesus was no legalist. We ought to take very seriously the law of the Lord. And again, there's plenty more to say on that, and that could be its own sermon, but suffices for now that there is much benefit for the hurting, for the troubled, in reading the rich, life-giving law of the Lord. There are repeated themes of remembering and memorization. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You cannot guard your heart according to God's word if you do not know it and if it is not residing in your heart and in your mind. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. So a special address. This goes to anyone. The rich value of memorizing the Word of God, keeping it in your heart, refreshing it over and over. But especially, I would charge to the young among us, especially those whose minds are more flexible. You are in a period where you are more adapted to learning, and you will benefit certainly over a, Lord willing, a long life of faithfulness with God's Word planted in your minds. But whatever your age, whatever your circumstance, it is worth the time and effort, and it is time and effort. But it is well worth that time and that effort to memorize the Word of God. There is a connection you see, between remembering and keeping. All those words that I read earlier, keeping is the most prominent theme in this psalm. Something like, I forget the word and I did the number and I didn't write it down, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 40-some times, there's reference to keeping the law of the Lord, and it appears in 20 of the 22 stanzas. Kings wrote their own copy. This is Deuteronomy 17, and when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a book, a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes, doing them, that his heart may be not lifted up above his brothers, and he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. It's Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. Again, it is easy to slip into legalism, but it is also easy to lay a charge of legalism at the idea of keeping the law. And yet, to know God's word, to memorize it, to have it ever present in our mind, is the best thing that we can do to spur us on to keeping it, to living holy before the Lord. Imperfectly, yes. Falteringly, certainly. But to walk in faithfulness before God. The word teaches and grants understanding. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. This word, especially to parents, and even more, especially to fathers. Fathers, take seriously. Husbands, take seriously your charge as head of the household. Weighty responsibility falls to you. And yet you are equipped with God's Spirit and with His Word. You don't need a Bible degree. Teach your family and teach your children this precious Word. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. The Lord teaches us His ways as we meditate on His word. And so, meditate. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. My eyes awaken the watches before the night that I may meditate on your promise. A call to the busy, because it takes time to meditate on God's word. This is time, again, well spent and will be rewarded. It may not immediately be evident, but remember that the Word of God is in fact life-giving. So better to spend your time on this than rushing off to one commitment after another after another. You know your own heart, you know your own schedule, you know your own commitments. And this is, of course, between you and the Lord. This is certainly not a place for that legalism to creep in, but do you meditate? Seriously meditate on the Word of God. Don't simply read it quickly and move on with your day as though you're checking a box. But carve that time out. Make the time to meditate. I rise before dawn and cry for help. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. And certainly, as we've already heard, the psalmist does not regret that decision. And there are many more, but finally, God's love and His promise. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens, and your faithfulness endures to all generations. My eyes long for your salvation, for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What a way to end this psalm. I have kept your testimonies. I have kept your commandments. I love your law. I delight in your word. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Most significantly, then, this is where the psalm shines. These passages of God's love and his promises fulfilled. Many for us, this psalm looking forward, now we looking back to some of these promises fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, in his coming to earth, in his death on the cross, in his resurrection. These promises fulfilled now give us hope and give us life in seeing the unfolding of God's work, giving us confidence that those promises yet unfulfilled will one day be, will one day be very plainly fulfilled. Certainly, we see then the value of God's written word, the teaching, the statutes. They enrich our understanding not only of ourselves, but of the person of Jesus Christ. And here we see, in this last verse, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We see our need of something external to the law. Great as it is, life-giving as it is, wisdom-granting as it is, there is a need apart from the law. The author of Hebrews, writing of Israel, striving to enter the rest, says this, so that none may fall. Let us strive to enter that rest so that none may fall by the same sort of disobedience. That is the lack of faith in the Lord. For, he continues, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. But then he continues, since then we have a great high priest. A great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of human flesh, in the likeness of human sin. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that we might become the righteousness of God. This word points us to our own need, points us to God's ever-present love, points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is true, it is righteous forever. It's worthy of your love and attention because its author is infinitely worthy of your time and attention. May you enrich our hearts, Father, not simply to know the Bible better, but through reading and meditating on your word, mining its depths, we may see you more clearly. Open our eyes that we may see wondrous things, that we may see you as wondrous in your pages of Scripture. Oh, would you so help us, Lord? Would you turn our hearts towards you? In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
Would you join us as we sing, Speak, O Lord. Mm-hmm.